I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, get up to 80% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, seasonal decor, and way more. All at Wayfair. These are Wayfair's best deals of the year. From seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 80% off during Wayfair's Black Friday sale. Now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Now, if you can't get enough real-life paranormal stories, I've got another podcast you're going to want to add to your rotation. It's called Tell Me Your Ghost Story. Each episode, host Cassie Askin invites guests to share their unexplainable encounters in their own words. From haunted houses and strange creatures to messages from beyond and UFO encounters in the sky. Some stories are terrifying, some are heartwarming, and some might just change the way you see the world. For example, there's David, who thought he delivered mail to a swanky hotel in downtown Los Angeles, until he later found out the place had been vacant and condemned for years. Or Jordan, who woke up in a historic English inn to see a small, goblin-like figure peering at her. And whatever it was, it followed her home. And Ivy, who began receiving messages from her fiancé after his sudden passing. Until the night a second voice came through. It was a young girl who said she'd been murdered, sending Ivy down a years-long path to find justice through police investigations and courtrooms. Cassie isn't looking for answers or theories, just stories that are sure to haunt you. So whether you listen for the spooky, the storytelling, or both, Tell Me Your Ghost Story has you covered. Listen to Tell Me Your Ghost Story podcast now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app.
Distance never seemed to be an issue with him.
Welcome to Monsters Among Us. I'm your guide, Derek Hayes. You can feel it in the air, can't you, folks? Halloween is right around the corner. We have something special cooking for you next week. But we have this week's slate of episodes to tend with first. And while they're not quote-unquote special episodes, they are full of special calls. And tonight's episode in particular puts a certain state in the spotlight. A state that's apparently full of all sorts of wild activity. Which is fitting because it's one of the most geographically diverse states in our union. With volcanoes, mountains, lakes, rainforests, high deserts, lush forests, arid shrublands, and a coastline that could rival all others. And this state is also home to the deepest lake in the United States. And it's also home to the largest living organism on Earth, a 2,500-year-old mushroom specimen that covers 3.5 square miles and weighs close to 35,000 tons. A specimen aptly nicknamed the humongous fungus. If those clues didn't help you, I'll spill the beans right now. Tonight we're discussing the Beaver State, the Webfoot State, the Pacific Wonderland, and the 33rd state of the Union, Oregon. And we kick things off here tonight with a bit of a premonition. Please welcome Vinny to the program.
Hey there, Derek. My name is Vinny. I'm out here in Portland, Oregon. So here goes. I was at my day job. You know, I'm busy with my work. I'm a lab technician at a dental laboratory. I'm sitting there working and I'm focused on my job. Like I'm working with tools. I'm looking at, you know, these models of impressions and working with that stuff. So I'm locked in. I'm not thinking of anything else. And just this is what I'm seeing. And all of a sudden I start seeing like flashes of images. I start seeing, you know, my aunt's family members. They're not my family, so it's just family of family. I see her brother. He's sad. He looks like he'd been crying. He's emotional looking. He's looking down. I start seeing more flashes of other of family members of my aunt's. And they're also, you know, sad and shooken up. As the images keep coming of all these different people, I start to realize, oh man, something happened. Like something happened to them. And I see my aunt as well, and she's in the mix of all these people, and they're all trying to, you know, console each other and take care of each other. I realize, oh man, their mom died. Like their mom just passed away. And in that moment, I snap out of it. I'm back to reality, and I, you know, I'm working again with the stuff. It's just a weird, like, what the heck? Why did I think of that stuff? That's, huh? I kind of shake it off, and I go back to work, listening to my music and, you know, try to carry on with my day and just shake it off. And maybe about two and a half hours pass there at work, and I get a text, and it's my sister Nina. She asked me, hey, Vince, did you hear about Dia's mom? And I reply back, no, which Dia? And she says, Dia so-and-so. And like there at work, I let out a what? Because I knew, like, I just thought of this stuff, you know, a couple hours back. So I text my sister back, you know, telling her the images that I see, the flashes, you know, her family crying and everything. And she like responds back with her text of like, what? That's crazy. What the? Just a strange, sad, and neat feeling all at once. You know, not really able to explain it, but just neat. I don't know. Kind of a neat thing. Thanks, everybody. Keep them coming. Take care. Bye.
Thank you, Vinny. That is incredible. And you know, I always wonder how these visions present themselves. Are they seen with the naked eye, the mind's eye, or the experiencer's imagination? Or are they somehow transported to these places where they see the action firsthand? Somewhat like a scene from The Christmas Carol with Ebenezer Scrooge. But you know, I've always imagined it like remembering a scene from your favorite movie. You know it like the back of your hand, so you can sort of see it and hear it in your imagination. I wonder how close I am. Well, regardless, we appreciate the call, Vinny. And I think it goes without saying, but I'm gonna say it anyway. If you get any vision about me or any of the crew, be sure to let us know right away. And thank you again for making the call. Now here with another quick entry is Kat, from nowhere else but the state of Oregon.
Hi, my name is Kat. I'm from a small town in Oregon. I just wanted to call in something really quick that literally just happened. I've been just sitting in my living room, actually listening to the podcast while playing on my computer, and I just looked and saw that our big rocking chair had somehow gotten pushed back up against the hallway, which I know it wasn't like that when I came out because there's no way I could have missed it. It was blocking the hallway from my bedroom to the living room. I'm the only one awake in my house, and it's, you know, one of those big leather rocking chairs. I think it had like a massage function in it at some point, so it's heavy. There is no way either of our pets could have moved it, and I definitely didn't move it, and it definitely wasn't like that when I came out here. So yeah, I'm just a little bit freaked out by that. I don't know how it could have happened. So have a good day, and I love the podcast. Bye.
Thank you, Kat. How fun for us that you had an experience like this while listening to the show. I say for us because I doubt you had as much fun experiencing the moving chair as we did hearing about it. But I guess that's how these spooky stories go. They're always a little bit better secondhand. It allows you to keep your distance. But be sure to keep an eye on that chair, Kat. And let us know if it happens again. Alright gang, let's get this first ad break out of the way, and I'll be right back with all kinds of strangeness from the Pacific Northwest, right after this.
7-2-S.
Having a small business means you have to wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. However, finding the right person to hire can be a part-time job in itself. And when you're already pressed for time, it can be downright daunting. That's where Upwork comes in. Upwork has more than 2 decades of experience with a simple and ambitious goal: to pioneer a better way of working. Companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and to find more flexibility in the way they staff projects. Upwork allows you to access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web development, design, admin support, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. There's no cost to join. You can register, browse freelancer profiles, draft a job post, or even book a consultation. From there, you can hire the right freelancers for the task at hand. Upwork makes the entire process easier and more affordable with industry-low fees. Post a job today and hire tomorrow with Upwork. Visit Upwork right now to post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com. Now, I'll be honest here. I really expected more UFOs and more monsters out of the state of Oregon. But that simply isn't how the numbers panned out. Not to say that we won't dabble in those experiences later on. But I will say that they don't exist in abundance here this evening. Instead, we have a heaping helping of haunts and ghosts, and a number of extremely strange entries that kind of don't fit in any other category. And we have one of those coming up. But first, this ghostly entry from Gavin. Welcome to the show, Gavin.
Hey, Derek, this is Gavin out of Oregon. This happened around January of this year. I've always been pretty in tune with frequencies and paranormal stuff. My aunt, she's kind of a medium. She talks about a lot of the stuff with me, but not a lot of stuff happened to me up to this point. I've always had like feelings of presences or whatnot around. And we had these talks, me and my aunt and my grandpa. He passed away before I was born. And she says that I'm very in tune with him, and he's always trying to communicate with me through like electricity and whatnot. But this happened, I was doing homework on my counter. It's facing the kitchen. It's all in one area in one room. And next to my fridge, to the left, if you're facing towards the east, the door, fridge, and then the counters and the cabinets. And the cabinets have underlights under them. Well, the light underneath started flickering, and I just didn't think of it. It was just a regular light, you know, that flickers, whatnot. Well, the light underneath the cabinets. There's like six cabinets all in a row that loop around to the right that head into my bedroom. And the first light started flickering, and then the next light underneath it started flickering, and the next one followed. It was kind of like a trail, kind of like Stranger Things, the show where like the lights would be like a trail, you know? And the trail light kept going, kept going, kept going. And then it got to the last cabin before my door into my bedroom, and the door like slightly cracked open after the last light flickered. And I looked into the door, and there's nothing in there, but the door slowly opened, and I was like stuck there just watching the door open by itself, and no windows were open, obviously, because it was winter time. And I went and talked to my aunt about it the next day, because she can communicate through things like that, and she said that it was definitely my grandpa reaching out to me, letting me know that he was in my presence that night, and he was in my bedroom. He was walking through the kitchen and my bedroom. I just thought it was a pretty good story. I appreciate everything you do. You get me through my day at work. And thanks, Derek. Keep it up. Bye.
Thanks, Gavin, for calling in. A lot of psychic ability up in the Beaver State. And as you're about to learn throughout the episode, a lot of loved ones reaching out from the other side. We appreciate you calling in, Gavin, with what we hope is a touching tale. Now, gang, if you too have a story you would like to share here on the program, give our hotline a call at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or you can record your story as a voice memo and email it to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. And of course, we're always accepting calls from the little ones over on our sister show, Monsters Among Us Junior. The number over there is 833-MAU-KIDS. Or you can email us at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Now for one of those weirder entries that I was telling you about. Please welcome one of many anonymous callers here this evening.
Hello, Derek. I just want to remain anonymous for this one. This story takes place in Tigard, Oregon, about 15 or so years ago. I was living in an apartment called Maple Tree Apartments with my ex. We were together at the time, and a roommate and his girlfriend. Now, our apartment was on the top floor, and in the middle of the early morning, I want to say maybe about 4 or 5 in the morning, I was awoken by just pounding all over the walls. Maybe it felt like it was inside my head, but there was just pounding everywhere. And my ex was still sleeping. I thought maybe it was a dream. I started, you know, trying to wake myself up, but it wasn't. It was just pounding. And it kept going for a couple minutes. And when it stopped, there was this metal pipe dragging sound. And then I fell back asleep after it all stopped. Then when I woke up, I rolled over and asked my ex, like, hey, did you hear anything last night in the morning? Any pounding? And she didn't. So when I told her about it, she was like, well, maybe the maintenance guy was doing some work, because we had an on-site maintenance guy. And I was like, okay. You know, I love the paranormal and everything, so I was hoping it was a ghost story, but let's just work through it. So we go downstairs, talk to the landlord who was on site, and I asked her, hey, was there a maintenance guy working? You know, I heard some pounding, some metal scraping. She was like, well, let's go give him a call. So she called him down, and he's like, no. But she does tell us that it's haunted, that there is a colonial cemetery called the Sunset Pioneer Cemetery, I believe, off Canterbury Road. And it was in walking distance from our apartment. And we're like, okay, it's cool. Guess we have ghosts here. So afterwards, my ex decides to, you know, go take some pictures of the cemetery. I leave for work. I come back from work and she lets me know that her camera died. After a couple pictures, it died. Full battery dead. We put a new battery in it. It didn't work anymore. Then we move out of the apartment complex a couple years later. Find out that the city is deciding to do work on it. Build a new apartment complex, move headstones, stir up some trouble with the ghosts. Awesome podcast. Hope you can use this. Have a good one.
Thank you, caller. You know, the girlfriend had a good point. A maintenance man working somewhere in the building is an excellent guess. But who would have thought making that suggestion would lead to some stories about real ghosts on the premises? But was it ghosts that produced those pounding sounds? Or was it something mundane and explainable, like the girlfriend suggested? Or did the cemetery somehow come into play here? And how much will this activity ramp up once those renovations began? Well, keep us updated if you can, caller. And thank you again for sharing the story. Now, folks, like I said, Oregon is an unusual place. Portland's slogan isn't "Keep Portland Weird" for no good reason. And we've already mentioned that it was home to the deepest lake in the U.S., Crater Lake, and home to the largest organism. But did you know it's also home to the world's largest barbershop pole? It's over in Forest Grove. Or that Oregon and New Jersey are the only states in the country where you're not allowed to pump your own gas. I told you, Oregon is an unusual place. And here with even more evidence is our next caller. Please welcome Nick to the program.
Hey, Derek, this is Nick from Portland, Oregon. So when I was a kid, my mom got the bright idea to paint one of my walls chalkboard paint so I could just draw whatever I wanted with chalk on my walls. It was like a fun thing. But one night, during the like Slenderman craze, we were playing Slender. One of my friends drew Slenderman on the wall. On this wall, there was a reflective light switch. And my friend drew Slenderman around that light switch. And one night, I woke up in the middle of the night, probably in middle school, and I swear I saw the Slenderman where that outline was. But the weird thing is, there was a reflective light switch on the wall, and this Slenderman was blocking that. I remember just waking up, seeing that, and it was completely blocking the reflective light switch. Made me sleep paralysis, maybe just imagination. Who knows? But yeah, thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you, Nick. Now, I usually don't share Slenderman stories here on the program. Not that we even get that many of them. But I don't share because I know 100% that Slenderman is a fictional character. The creature was created back in 2009 by an artist named Eric Knudsen. It's well documented at this point. And I only make an exception here tonight because this story made me think of the ancient practice of tulpa meditation. A tulpa is a concept that originated in Tibetan Buddhism, where it refers to a thought form or a being or object created through deep mental focus, meditation, and intention. In that spiritual context, a tulpa is said to take on a kind of independent existence, separate from the mind that created it. So an imaginary friend come to life, figuratively, and apparently sometimes, literally. Now there are tons of videos and websites dedicated to this practice, and I'll let you do your own digging on that. But given that the creature that was conjured was fictional, the practice quickly came to mind. Or maybe Nick here had a wild imagination as a child. I know I certainly did. Either way, thank you again, Nick, for making the call. And thank you for sticking around through this next ad break. Our favorite time of year is in full swing. We love it because it's spooky season, but also because it's the start of cozy season, which means it's the perfect time to slide into some Bombas. You know, Bombas, right? The most comfortable socks, slippers, and underwear out there, made from premium materials that actually make sense for this time of year. Think merino wool that keeps you warm when it's chilly, but cool when it's hot, and Supima cotton that's softer, stronger, and more breathable than regular cotton. And Bombas has more than socks. I love their comfy slippers and waterproof slides, and both make awesome gifts as well, if you're already thinking about holiday shopping. Now, best of all, for every item you buy, Bombas donates one to someone facing homelessness, which makes me feel great about my choice to shop at Bombas. For me, the quality of Bombas really stands out from the rest. It makes sense that they offer a happiness guarantee, which means if you're not 100% into what you've got, they'll make it right. No risk, all reward. Now head on over to bombas.com/MAU and use code MAU for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/MAU and use code MAU at checkout. bombas.com/MAU and use code MAU.
And I'm sure tonight you're going to probably need...
Now, do you want to hear something that'll make your skin crawl? Please welcome Robin to the show.
Hey, Derek, this is Robin in Eugene, Oregon. Big fan, Patreon supporter, and I am an artist and was setting up my booth for a holiday market sale in town at a big event center, so a place that has lots of people coming and going in various activities. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning and the event didn't actually open till 10, but I had to get there and set up my booth. And there weren't a lot of people there because most people were kind of already set up and were going to show up later, closer to the time that it opened. And I think I maybe saw 3 people in the whole place. There were some security folks. Anyway, no one near me by any means. And I was reaching to start displaying some of my things. So my arms were up and I was concentrating and kind of tuning things out. And say 4 to 6 inches from my left ear, I hear, "Robin," in a man's voice. Oh my God, I just got chills. It was not a voice I recognized. And I jumped and spun around because I'm kind of jumpy, and like, if there were a physical person there, I would have jumped. Either way, I would have jumped. But there was no one there, no one nearby. So I let out a couple of explicitives and kind of looked around to see if anyone was looking at me cursing. But it was very freaky. And I know lots and lots of people have had this type of experience. I just never have. And it's kind of spine tingling. It'll freak you out if it happens to you. So if you want it to happen to you, I hope it does, but it was kind of freaky. All right, take care. Bye.
Thanks, Robin. This would be unsettling if she turned around and there was a human there. Something about that does induce shivers. But to turn around to see nothing, that might possibly be worse. And I'd like to tell you that it was some rare form of exploding head syndrome that only applies to those that are wide awake. But unfortunately, I don't know any of that to be true. So I'll just tell you that it's real creepy stuff, Robin. And it's hard to blame you for being jumpy after all that. Thank you again for making the phone call. Now, folks, I only have one story here tonight that can even sort of remotely be labeled a UFO call. And guess what? It's up next. So I'd better get these facts out of the way real quick. According to the National UFO Reporting Center, Oregon ranks 12th in the U.S. for UFO sightings. 3,745 reported, the most recent being from September 27, 2025. A large gray orb floating through the air in the Dalles. Now, if you're interested, here are the top 10 cities in the state of Oregon in regards to UFO sightings. Tied at number 9 is Gresham and Hillsboro. Number 8 is Albany. Number 7 is Springfield. Number 6 is Medford. Number 5 is Bend. Number 4 is Beaverton. Number 3 is Eugene. Number 2 is Salem. And coming in at number 1, surprising absolutely no one, is the city of Portland, with 613 sightings. Now, per usual, it's not hard to notice that this list also reads like the list of most populated cities in Oregon. And that's probably not a coincidence. But now that we're armed with this knowledge, please welcome Lacey to the program.
Hi, Derek. My name is Lacey, calling from Portland, Oregon. I am giving you guys a call because I haven't really heard a story like mine on your show yet. But what I'm going to tell you is two separate sightings that kind of light up. I think I experienced both of these sightings with my boyfriend at the time. But the first one is with my boyfriend at about like 3 in the morning. This is probably in 2010. And we were staying up. And granted, we were partaking in some fun substances, but nothing we weren't familiar with. Additionally, I would say that you don't hallucinate with these substances, and you certainly don't hallucinate the same thing as someone else. So anyway, we were looking out of my bedroom window towards the hills. I live in North Portland by a very famous bridge, and at the deck level of the bridge, a white light emanated out of seemingly nowhere and continued to grow in size. I would say that it was maybe 30 to 40 feet across, and it emanated over the course of like 30 seconds, and we both watched it, and then it just disappeared. It was like a surprisingly quiet night, so we saw like no one out and about, but just a few minutes later, we did happen to see a fire truck go across the bridge, kind of towards the light, but over it, with its lights on, but its sirens off, and then we tracked it across the bridge and it did not go anywhere near the light. It went on down the highway in a different direction. So that was pretty interesting. And then about 30 minutes later, so this is about 3:30, just after in the morning, still same day, we saw the same thing happen. And it took a little less time. I want to say it was about, 15, 20 seconds to do approximately the same thing. And that was it. And it was just so interesting. It didn't make any sound. The weather was a very clear night. We went the next day to look at the spot. It was over a river. Absolutely nothing there that we can think of. There is a lot of industry on the river, but if it was fire, it would have been orange at maybe some point, you know? And this was white the entire time. Fast forward to the next year, and that summer I'm with that same boyfriend, and together we also see a triangle ship fly over us with our other two friends while we're sitting in a hot spring on the bed of the Newberry Caldera. And so I say these together because I think it's interesting that I saw it with this one person twice. This triangle ship was very low, I would say 100 feet in the air, traveling very slow, soundless. There was no sound. I remember having a very kind of panic response to the point where I kind of felt like I froze. I think that was my sensation that I had. I don't know if something else happened, but that's what I felt. All of our friends and us were just in awe and stunned. And we watched this triangle ship fly over, and there were seemingly red, white, and green lights on each side of the triangle. It seemed like it came straight up out of the mountain on the far end of the lake, went straight up, and then flew directly over us. Just pretty interesting stuff. Love your guys' show. You take care, and cheers.
Thank you, Lacey, for being ranked number 12 in the U.S. for sightings. I had to dig pretty hard to find this one story on the subject. So that leads me to wonder, exactly where are all the UFO calls out of Oregon? You folks are awfully quiet. Now, as for Lacey's sighting, I couldn't tell you if the two were related or not, or if the connection there was the ex-boyfriend. But I can tell you that I've heard dozens, if not hundreds, of other stories, just like Lacey's, describing a triangle craft hovering in the air. And when you hear something that many times, you start to believe in it. So I believe you, Lacey. I just don't know what they are. But we thank you, Lacey, for calling in to share your unique perspective. Now, folks, the holidays are right around the corner. So why don't you visit our merch shop, your one-stop shop for that MAU lover in your life. Or get yourself the gift that you know no one else is going to give you. Just visit our website at monstersamonguspodcast.com and click on the shop tab. All proceeds go directly back into the show, helping us stay afloat and helping us continue to grow. Again, that's monstersamonguspodcast.com and click that shop tab. My mom is in Ohio standing by, ready to ship something to you. Now, speaking of family, I'd mentioned earlier that there seems to be a lot of ghostly loved ones in the state of Oregon, and I meant it. And here is yet another example of this phenomenon, this time from Eric, out of you-know-where.
Hi, Derek. This is Eric, calling from Oregon. Yeah, I've been listening to your podcast for a long time, and I was talking about it with my mom. She's not like a paranormal nut or anything like that. She's actually not super into this type of stuff publicly, but I can kind of get her talking about it. Yeah, I was just kind of talking about your show. I was kind of sharing various stories, UFOs and ghosts and stuff, and, you know, the normal fare for your show. And I was like, yeah, I heard this crazy story about these experiences that were happening with people who were near death. And she was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I had something pretty crazy happen with my mom right before she died. And I never knew her parents. They both died in the early 80s, and I wasn't born until 87. So I never knew them. And I don't really know much about them. My mom didn't really talk about them very much growing up. They both died of cancer, like very suddenly, right before my parents got married. And it just wasn't something we ever talked about, really, in our house. Yeah, so in the early 80s, you know, my grandpa, my mom's dad, passed away. Like, his health started declining really quickly from cancer, and he died pretty suddenly, and it was obviously very traumatic. And they were all kind of living in the same house. You know, my dad at the time, who was just dating my mom, and my mom and my mom's brother and both of their parents, you know, they're all living in the same house. And he had died, and it was really sudden. And not too long after that, like within a few months, my grandma, my mom's mom, started getting sick. She had gotten diagnosed with cancer as well, and she was getting worse pretty quickly. And towards the end of her life, within the last few weeks and months, like, my mom was staying in the same house as her, obviously, and like kind of helping. And she told me, she was like in the kitchen, and the kitchen was very close to the family room where they had the TV and stuff. And my grandma, my mom's mom, is watching TV, and my mom's like hearing her talk. She's kind of like, not like angry, but kind of like, you know, just, I don't know, you know, kind of mumbling like, oh, what do you know, type of stuff like that. And she kind of like had thought, she's like, boy, that's like the way that like she used to talk to her husband, you know, her dad, when they were kind of like bickering like old married couples do. And she comes in, she's like, mom, who are you talking to? And she's like, oh, it's just your dad. He's saying it's not my time to go yet. And she was like, what? She's like, yeah, your dad won't leave me alone. He's over there. And he's saying, get out of my chair, because she was sitting in the chair that my grandpa always sat in when he was alive, I guess. And my mom kind of was like, oh, okay, that's kind of freaking me out. It's a little too much for me. and she kind of went back to what she was doing. And another time, like a few days later, you know, she could hear my grandma doing that again, saying she's talking to her husband who's dead. And my mom was like, this is getting weird. But my mom was like, you know, going through a lot at the time and was planning her own wedding at the time. And she just had a lot going on. I don't think she really wanted to like poke and prod too much, because it was just like a lot to start being like, okay, my mom is now talking to her deceased husband. So she kind of just let it lie. And my mom said, like, this is about a month later from these two instances. And she's like really sick. Like, she can't get out of bed. You know, they're bringing her food in. Like, her doctors are kind of like, you know, it could be any moment now that she could go. They had a TV in there for her. And, you know, various people would go in and sit with her. And she's like really not really very there mentally for a lot of this period of time. And she doesn't really say much. She can't really move much. And my mom said they were watching the 700 Club, because I guess my grandma really liked the 700 Club. You know, it's the middle of the day and she's kind of just looking off into space. And she's like, oh, look at all the kids. Look at all the kids. Look at the children. And she has this like smile almost on her face. And my mom's like, what is she talking about? Because she's like looking at the TV program and like there's no kids on the TV. Like there was no kids in the room. There's no kids in the house. They're on a second story bedroom. So there's like, you know, she couldn't like see down to the street and see kids or something. And she's just kind of like, oh, look at all the kids. And then she says, oh, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. My mom is like, what are you talking about? And she won't like respond to my mom really. And my mom looks outside and it's like the weather's like cold and gray. Like it's not a nice day outside. And the TV is just them interviewing somebody on a stage. There's nothing like beautiful about this situation. My mom was like, this is not the type of situation your grandma would be like, oh, it's so beautiful. But she was just totally in the state of bliss. And she's just like, look at the kids, look at the children. It's so beautiful. Oh, it's so beautiful. And my mom was basically like, okay, I'm out of here. This is something else going on. And my grandma passed away like 2 hours later. They called the paramedics and they came and picked her up to her hospital. And she was dead at the hospital, basically. My mom was just like, she was not there. She was just gone. Like what she was talking about, these kids and it being so beautiful, like that was not where we were. She was for sure gone. And she's like, I think she was, you know, on the other side and experiencing the other side for the first time and having her soul kind of leave her. And man, that was just such an insane conversation to have, because like I said, like we never talked about my grandparents when I was a kid. And I really have your podcast to thank for it. But I hope you have a great day and a great evening. And thanks so much for the pod, Derek. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Eric, for taking the time to call. That one gave me a chill, even though I've heard hundreds of stories just like it. Stories about the dying seeing loved ones, pets, or even beautiful images as they are about to pass, interacting with someone or something that no one else in the room can see. As unnerving as these stories tend to be, in a weird way, they give me a bit of hope. Hope that when I finally croak, there might be people waiting for me on the other side. So thank you again, Eric, for sharing the story, and I hope you continue to learn more about your grandparents. Of course, if you learn anything spooky, you know how to reach us.
Over the last many, many months,
the three right-hand lanes shut down for bridge repairs.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Boxes were all filled with gifts, big and small. But sharing pure love is the greatest gift of all. Stay cozy, my people. And have a boss here.
Get into the holiday spirit with Boss and our ultimate gifting edit. Visit your nearest store or explore our curated selection online at boss.com.
He'd settled down and it didn't take him.
Well, I promised weirdness and I have all kinds of it to disperse, even still. Like this entry from Lumen. Take it away, Lumen.
Hey, my name's Lumen. I'm from Oregon. This story takes place in my hometown down south in the valley, Jervis, Oregon. So this happened actually sometime this year. I don't remember which month it was, but I know it was this year because I was driving my current vehicle when this happened, and I've only had that car for a year. So I live on a 1,200-acre farm. I'm a born and raised farmer, fourth generation. So it's pretty big property. The property has a lot of history behind it. My family is not the only one who's lived there. The founder of our town's lived there. We had several other people who have lived there before us. So it's a lot of history. So anyways, I had just gotten home from work. It was 9 o'clock at night and I had realized I had left my mail in my car. And so I was going to take it out to my mom because she gets mad if I don't take the mail to her. I'm walking the mail out from my house to my mom's office, which is like pretty good distance away from each other. It's 9 o'clock at night. Pretty dark out. The moon's out. Everything's great. Weather's fantastic. So I'm walking out. Nothing happens. The pathway's lit up. We got the shop lights on. Hand over the mail, and I'm heading back. And halfway, I'm almost to my home, 2-minute walk away from the house, I hear a whistle coming from the tree line just a little ways off from me. And it sounds like a... kind of like what I would do to call my dogs. Now, like I said, it's 9 o'clock. No one is at work. The only one in my mom's office or in that vicinity is my mother. Everyone else in my family is inside. My sisters are inside. My dad is inside. And after I heard the whistle, I hear a woman's voice beckoning me. Like, she whistles and goes, "Come here. Come over here." It did not sound like my mother. I know what my mom sounds like. It was not my siblings. They were in their rooms. They were playing video games. I knew where they were. And I also would have known if my mom hadn't decided to come out and call the dogs, because when she leaves our office, she has to slam that door shut, and you can hear it from our house. So it was not my mom. I have no idea what it was. And of course, me being me, I've had the most paranormal experiences in our family. I stopped in my tracks, looked over to that tree line, and I shouted, "What the f-?" I booked it home. I don't run, which sounds bad. I don't like running, but I've never ran so fast. I was horrified. I ran in. I checked to make sure my siblings were in the house, so they weren't messing with me. Everyone was there. No one was in that tree line. I don't know what happened. For some reason, I think I'm a magnet for paranormal activity, because everywhere I go, I experience things. But I love your podcast. Have a lovely night.
Thanks, Lumen. A whistle in the woods. You know, if it weren't for that additional voice, I'd wager a guess that a large hairy creature was behind that whistle. That is Bigfoot country, after all, and that is a trait that those creatures are said to possess. Many have claimed that they whistle back and forth. And speaking of Bigfoot, given that this episode is on the state of Oregon, I had to dig up a Bigfoot story to share with you all. Why is that, you might be wondering? Well, that's because the BFRO, the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization, listed Oregon number 6 in popularity when it comes to sightings of the creature. 261 reports since they started keeping track. So, of course, we had to push play on a Bigfoot story. So please welcome another anonymous caller to tonight's show.
Hi, Derek. I live in Portland, Oregon. It is October 4th. It is 3:30 in the morning. And outside my window, it faces the back of the house. And there's a really small wooded area and a creek. I went to bed probably around 1 a.m. and I could hear a faint whimpering outside my window. I remember thinking it was like a sad puppy or something, so I was falling asleep thinking, oh, poor puppy. But fast forward to now, my cat sleeps on my belly and she had jumped up and ran to my window. And that whimpering sound now sounded like it was right outside my window. However, along with the whimpering, it was like snarling and snorting all in one breath. Like, like all these crazy noises. And I could also hear slosh, 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 like something bipedal was wading its way through the creek. I had just spent the last 4 minutes listening to different kind of like injured coyote noises. Doesn't sound like anything I've heard. I have never heard anything like that. It scared me enough to run and lock my window. And I am a Monsters Among Us fan, so my brain is going to like Wendigo or maybe a not deer. I'm not really sure, but I know that you might be able to help me figure it out. I have never heard any sound like that before and legitimately made me scared. All right, thanks for your time.
Thank you, caller. Now, how was that a Bigfoot call? I can hear some of you asking. Well, it sure was. I mean, all the telltale signs are there. Our caller described the footsteps she heard in the water as bipedal. Outside of humans, there aren't too many bipedal creatures running around the woods of Oregon. Certainly not of that size. And she'd also mentioned the growling sounds. Obviously something big and mad. And, as it just so happens, the Beaver State is home to a well-known semi-aquatic and apparently albino Bigfoot that matches this description perfectly. The Conser Lake Monster. A cat-eared, web-footed Bigfoot-like creature said to haunt the lake since the early 1950s. And the dog, well, here is the gruesome part. There are numerous stories floating around of Sasquatch or Bigfoot attacking, chasing, or even killing dogs. Apparently, the two species do not get along. So with all that info in your noggin, let me paint a quick picture of what might have happened that night. There was a dog running from this creature, or perhaps hiding from it outside of her caller's window. Its whimpering gave away its position. The creature then snatched up the dog, growling as it whimpered and whined. The beast, with the dog in tow, then retreats through the water and into the forest. I'll let you fill in the gory details after that. And of course, that's just one scenario. It also could have just been a bunch of trash pandas, just as easily. But whatever it was, caller, you had us on the edge of our seats. And we thank you for the entertaining tale. Now, moving right along, our next presenter is Truvy. Truvy, the mic is all yours.
Hello, this is Truvy. I live in La Grande, Oregon. And right now I work at Domino's as a delivery driver. And this story takes place when I was doing a closing shift. So we closed at 11 p.m. and we got out of the store at like 3 a.m. And it was just me and two other coworkers. Let's say the first coworker is Megan and the second one is Gabrielle. And this has to do more with Gabrielle and I. So We get everything done, and, you know, it's a really clear night, and we're getting ready to leave the store. So we're turning off the lights, but in the back of the store, we turn the lights back on so we can finish putting stuff in the dish pit that we need to. So I go back and I try to turn on the lights to, you know, put stuff in the dish pit, and the lights aren't working. I then see a shadow figure in the dish pit, and I refuse to go back there. So Gabrielle decides she's gonna go back there, and not only does she go back there, she calls this thing out. Not too long after that, we had a few things slide off a few of the counters. And they didn't just slide. They, like, flew off the table and made a really loud noise. I was freaking out. And Megan comes back to the back where the office is and everything, and she asks what we just did. And I looked at her and I said, I didn't touch anything. Nothing. Gabrielle didn't touch anything. I simply showed her that we could not turn on the light back here, and that Gabrielle has already called this intuition out. Yeah, so we left the store freaking out. Once we left the store, the light in the back turned on and then turned back off a few seconds later. So, yeah. Kind of freaky. And thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Truvy. Nothing worse than a ghost at work. It's time to request hazard pay, as I always like to joke. Well, believe it or not, we have more upcoming that just might detail the exact same entity that Truvy just introduced us to. But first, one more quick pause in the action. I'll be right back.
Our phone number for
like you know to check the weather first.
Boxes were all filled with gifts, big and small. But sharing pure love is the greatest gift of all. Stay cozy, my people, and have a Boss year.
Get into the holiday spirit with Boss and our ultimate gifting edit. Visit your nearest store or explore our curated selection online at boss.com.
Like I said, I have more on the activity Truvy just reported. Additional experiences by none other than her own mother. Please welcome Sammy to the program.
Hi, Derek. My name is Sammy from Northeastern Oregon. I'm calling about an instance that happened to me around 2018 or 19. I believe my daughter, Truvy, has already called in about the same character, not the same instance. So I wake up really early in the morning in my days to slumber. I start the process of the daily grind. So while my eyes are still closed, I walk into the kitchen, you know, start my coffee. Then while that's brewing, I go get dressed. This morning, I walk into our kitchen. I grab the empty pot of coffee, go over to my sink, fill it up with water, turn around, and my son is, like every creepy little child, standing right behind me to the point where I almost trip over him. I kind of do one of those fake out basketball moves to not knock him over, but turn around really quick. And once I get a couple feet away, I'm turning around to say, hey, you know, what are you doing? You're scaring the crap out of me. And there's no one there. When that happens, of course, I am completely awake at that point. I go put my coffee down, run to my son's bedroom, and he is out like a light. I can't even wake him up. So I know it wasn't him. And I thought, oh my gosh, I believe I just saw the ghost of a little boy. So I go running to my daughter Trudy's room. We're very paranormal savvy people. And I say, hey, Trudy, wake up. You know, you're never going to believe what just happened to me. Like, I'm a little creeped out right now. And she's really tired and groggy. And she's like, Mom, what's going on? And I said, I was just making coffee. And I thought your brother was standing behind me. I almost tripped over him. But it was not your brother. And she said, well, what did he look like? And I was like, no, I'm not playing this game. I know that she'd had a little boy that she had seen in her bedroom and around the house. And I said, now I want you to describe to me what this boy is that you've been seeing. Now, I never told her what I saw, but what I saw was, I would say, probably maybe 10-year-old boy. He was blonde. He had a bowl cut, haircut, orange and white striped, total 70s, late 70s, early 80s t-shirt. He had pants. I can't remember if they were jeans or khakis, but I remember the Converse shoes. And he was just standing directly behind me, staring straight up at me, as any kid would do. And when I asked my daughter what this boy looked like, she to a T described what I saw. And she goes, well, Mom, that's William. He's in my room every night. He stands at the foot of my bed and he says, hi, Mom. So this is one of many instances, paranormal-wise, that have happened just in our current home. We've been living there for 14 years and it has opened my eyes. I can't even explain the amount of things that have happened in this home. It is not the home. I will just say that right now. It is a combination of my daughter and I living in the same household. And it has taken many years for me to figure it out. And now that we do know, activity is gone unless I fail to protect my location and where I'm at. But I just wanted to say, I love the show. I enjoy it a lot. And thanks for listening. Bye.
Thanks, Sammy. Ghostly children. One of the creepiest of ghostly infestations. At least in my opinion. And are we assuming that this entity, the little boy, goes with Truvy on her shift at the pizza place every day? Kind of makes me wonder if the ghost should be getting paid as well. But in all seriousness, that is an interesting theory you have there, Sammy. That it's not the home that's causing or harboring the activity, but it's the combined energies of both yourself and your daughter. Possibly attracting, if not manifesting it. Not an angle I think I'd ever would have thought of, but I do like how you think. And thank you again, Sammy, for making the phone call. Well, folks, it's the moment we all feared. The final story of the evening. Now, per usual, I'm closing things out here with a bit of a wild one. I won't even tease it. Instead, I'll just say, enjoy this entry from Anonymous in the state of Oregon.
Hi, so I'm a first-time caller, and I wanted to recount a totally unexplainable situation that happened to me when I was about 8 years old. So, first of all, just for some context, I come from a family of scientists, total skeptics, don't believe in the paranormal or anything like that, and they are to this day pretty stumped by what I witnessed. So, it was probably in 1997 in rural Oregon, about 30 miles west of Portland, really wooded area. I was outside kind of helping my grandpa with something at the bottom of our driveway. And from there, you can see across kind of a wetland area, about 150 yards. There's a really steep hill. At the time, there was no driveway, nobody living there. And in fact, it's so steep that you really can't walk there. And I was just gazing across. And in this little gap in the trees, all of a sudden, a clear as day figure dressed all in white appeared in an opening in kind of the canopy, like high up in the trees, nowhere that a person could really walk, because we've, you know, inspected that area later and have confirmed that there's no trail there. You can't get up to the gap in the trees that I saw this person. They were completely dressed in white and doing some strange rhythmic dance. And they were, you know, 150 yards away or so, but I was kind of keenly aware that they were looking at me and smiling and very much, I don't know, I felt their gaze. They moved out of the clearing. Another person took their place, and then another, and then another, all kind of doing this back and forth, odd little, I would only describe it as a pagan-y kind of dance. I was like stunned like a deer in headlights, pulled on my grandpa's coat, pointed across the way. He actually acknowledged seeing movement up there. It was kind of at the tail end. I wish I had got his attention earlier, but I wasn't at an age where I'm capable of completely imagining my surroundings. These were physically in my reality for that brief period of time. So that is my story. I would love to hear if other people have similar visions of these people. They didn't feel hostile, but it didn't necessarily feel safe either. Can't really explain it. It felt, you know, kind of otherworldly. So yeah, I hope you have more context on this. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thanks, caller. I'd love to hear if others have seen something like this as well, because it's downright wild. But sadly, I don't have much more context. But now that this is on my radar, I know to look out for it. Like I said in the opener, Oregon is an odd place, home to Bigfoot, Dogman, Bat Squatch, the Medfoot, the Schmooze, which is some sort of peanut-shaped entity. So why not strange, paganistic, floating, dancing people in the trees? What a way to end the program. So a big thanks, caller, for taking the time to call. And a big thanks to you, listener, as well, for joining me here this evening. Because that's going to do it for this installment. Now, Monsters Among Us podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes, Delaney Bowers, and Connor Ryan. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Be sure to like us on our social media accounts. Give us a like and follow on YouTube. Join our Discord server. And leave us a rate and review wherever that sort of thing is possible. Don't forget, you can catch the show every Saturday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern on the UnX Digital Network. Just visit unxnetwork.com to tune in. And finally, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.EG Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Now don't forget about the film. BoregoTriangle.com is the place to go to learn where you can watch for free, in the U.S. at least. And yes, the film is finally available overseas as well. All that info can also be found at BoregoTriangle.com. And if you would, join us in the beyond. Brand new after shows each and every Thursday for only $5 a month. And ad-free content for only $1 a month. Help keep Delaney and Connor employed. Join us in the beyond today. Or at the very least, check out the free 7-day trial. MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click the Patreon tab. All right, everyone. I'll catch you back here on Thursday, but until then, I have a jack-o'-lantern or two to carve. You keep it spooky. And of course, have yourselves a good night. We'll be right back.
Boxes were all filled with gifts, big and small. But sharing pure love is the greatest gift of all. Stay cozy, my people, and have a Boss year.
Get into the holiday spirit with Boss and our ultimate gifting edit. Visit your nearest store or explore our curated selection online at boss.com.